Hello, and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. There's something weird and wonderful happening in the world right now, and that's the rise of animal influencers on social media. If you're like me, you might be wondering, how does that cat have almost 4 million followers on Instagram? And better yet, how much is his owner making in doing this? I started doing some digging myself, and I came to find out that, like modeling agencies exist, there are agencies that represent insta-famous animals. Colleen Wilson is one of them. She's the founder of animal influencer management firm Pets on Cue, and she joined me on the podcast to talk all about the fascinating and sometimes lucrative world of being a pet influencer. She manages many Insta-famous animals and helps their owners, like Dean the Basset, Rhea the Naked Birdie, Nala Cat, Juniper Fox, and more. So, enjoy.
From the Fox 11 studios in Los Angeles, California, it's the Olympic and Bundy podcast with host Kelly Taylor.
Wait, are you, where are you from originally?
New Hampshire. Totally different, but I lived in, I got into finance out of school.
Oh yeah, you said that in your email.
In private mortgage banking in Manhattan, and started it there and started working with a trainer who worked with animals in film. As like a weekend fun job, because just as a de-stressor to my intense finance job.
Yeah.
And then moved out to Beverly Hills and did the same thing and did this as a side job for a couple years.
You went to Beverly Hills like for finance.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And then did this as a side job still. And then it kind of just took off and I couldn't do both anymore. And I love this. So it's really fun.
So when you said do this as a side job, like how did you start out? Do you know what I mean? Like, what were, like, the side jobs?
Well, dog training. I started with, because I come from the business world, right? And people have always asked me to train their dogs, because my dogs have always come from really bad situations and really terrible temperament, and then they transform, and you can see them blossom and whatnot. So people started asking me to do that, and I'm like, I'm not a professional dog trainer, so I got a professional dog trainer to help me.
Yeah.
And I took what he did and what I knew and kind of made my own system. And then I started getting calls for my dog to do New York Fashion Week and GQ Magazine and this and that. And I have a very pretty dog.
What kind of dog?
A Dalmatian.
Oh, no way!
Yeah, he's totally deaf, though. So I signed to him, and he is, like, he just did a TV show that's about to air. He's awesome. He's a rock. Out of all of my clients, my dog's disabled, and he kills it out of
really?
All the famous ones.
What's his name?
Troll Charlie, but Instagram is Deaf Dal.
Deaf Dal.
Because he's deaf. And
so
he's a Dell.
Were you always, like, posting about him on social media? I mean, like, did you make a separate account for him?
He has an account, but I don't push his account. I did it for the business side and for the animals and film, because someone reached out to me and was like, hey, your dog's, I don't consider my dog famous, but he has just under 20,000 followers, which is insane.
Which to you is not a lot.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, my clients that have 2+ million.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Yeah.
He's nothing. And I don't do really paid promotions with him. I just kind of use him for film because he loves it.
Yeah.
You know, he loves working. But with... Well, I just got sidetracked. Where were we at? With the famous animals.
Yeah, just
Hollywood,
like on your side job.
Yeah.
So you sort of...
It just slowly evolved. Where
yeah.
he started booking things and a couple of famous people... I kind of had the idea of bringing this... The famous animal world with the film world that I was starting to work in with trained animals.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's a gap there. There's a niche there that is untapped, that's
yeah.
going to be a huge industry.
Yeah.
And no one's doing it yet. So I kind of decided to see how it went as just like a side fun thing and would just work nights and weekends. And I worked commission so I could take the time off whenever I needed to. But then in my regular job, I was working with like billionaires and celebrities and
yeah.
doing their finance. And then on the other side, I'm like, I'm the dog trader.
Yeah.
You know, so it was an awesome de-stressor for that. And then it all just kind of exploded.
Where did the name Pets on Cue come from?
My dog training company was Dogs on Cue, like on set when you're on cue. And then
oh.
it was Dogs on Cue for forever. And then I was like, I work more with cats and foxes and birds. And so I had to change it to Pets on Cue. And even then, I also thought about changing it to animal influencer management, but I'm like, that's just a handful, and
yeah,
The Q is an underutilized letter in the English language.
That's not cute. I think it's catchy. It's great. If you said animal influencer, like, that's like kind of intimidating.
It's like also like...
Right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 A little... What's the word for that? A little hoity-toity?
Pretentious.
Yeah, like, pretentious. Exactly.
Like a jerk who just said I worked in New York City and Beverly Hills.
Yes. Yeah. I'm an animal influencer manager.
Yeah. But some of the animal owners off air are insane.
Yeah. Well, okay.
It's like stage mom meets toddlers in tiaras meets... a crazy cat lady or dog lady, whatever you want to call it, or bird lady.
Best in show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like to an extreme because they have validation because their animal has millions of, or hundreds of thousands of followers or millions of followers. They get more validation that they're a celebrity. So they're even crazy.
Gotcha. So typically, how do you find clients? Are they already pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty followed on, like, what's the main platform, would you say? Instagram?
Instagram, yeah.
Okay. So do you seek them out, or are they coming to you seeking management?
Both. So a lot of people that come to me, I have to turn down. They're either too small, or they have fake accounts following them, or they have, we have a proprietary algorithm that I created with my dad, who's an engineer. Oh. crazy, I know.
Great.
That we're able to track who does, who performs best on a daily, weekly,
right, like
monthly
how much,
basis.
Right, like how engaging their posts are.
And that's how we're able to determine the price point, because we see a lot of, like, I have competition now out there, which not much, because they kind of throw out numbers that are insane.
Yeah.
And no one really wants to pay for it. And then they come work with us, and they, you know, we give them reasonable prices based off of data, not off of, like...
So on average, how many, if someone listening has a pet... and they're, you know, gaining a following on, say, Instagram. What follower count are you looking for?
Over a million now. But we will start talking to people at 20,000.
And that's the point when you can maybe potentially start making money.
And not or, a lot of money. People think that once their animal gets 20,000, they're going to be making thousands of dollars. Yeah. They're not.
I'm going to quit my job.
When you're in the hundreds of thousands of followers, you can make a few thousand a year.
Yeah.
When you're in the millions of followers, you're making six figures. Like, there's a big difference between the people that have, and even in the millions of followers, I have accounts that don't really make anything.
Yeah.
Because brands don't really want to work with them because parts of their following base is fake. Parts of their, you know, so, but with the data, you can see what you're actually paying for.
Yeah.
So that's the different part about, because you see it as just like animals and having fun.
Yeah.
It's more business savvy than
for sure.
That.
Business savvy owners.
Yeah.
Who are.
Which they're not, which is why they need a manager.
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah. Because they'll come in and be like, I need $1,000 a post and I only have, you know, 50,000 followers. I'm like, no brand's going to work with you. But, you know.
Yeah.
Keep trying on that.
some of your larger followed clients, who are some of the, like, what are some of the opportunities that they've gotten or like sponsorships or companies that have wanted to work with them?
A lot. We just finished a West Elm ornament campaign with them. So, and my favorite client is the one she outsold everyone, you know, all the other animals there, she outsold all of them combined. And she's kind of my destroyer, that one.
Yeah.
But then we just did a Home Depot promotion. We did a Nissan commercial with two of our big cats.
With Venus the cat.
Yeah.
Which is the half face, right?
Yeah. She's awesome. Yeah. Like that cat, I met her because luckily I have a history with working with animals on set and the owners don't. So that cat had already done a Target commercial when I got her and the owner didn't understand how stressful like being on set is with a house cat.
Yeah.
So when the night before we did the shoot, it was an outdoor shoot and we were trying to figure out a way to make sure the cat understood everything and in a way that she wouldn't be stressed out. This is kind of how I do my training. It's hard to articulate it, but
yeah.
So the night before I had 30 minutes, I was like, don't feed her. Let me come over and I will feed her dinner with my hands because I need her to trust me
so she can get used to you.
So I brought a clicker over and just taught her look at me. Every time she looked at me, click, treat. Every time, like, and then by the end of it I was running across the apartment. She's just laying there like, treat lady's working for me.
Yeah.
Like, you have to trick animals into thinking that you're working for them and then they love doing it.
So that's a huge part of say if you are an owner who's like posting several times of your animal trying to build a following. Once you do that, you also have to know how to train your animal if they do get these opportunities to work with brands and be on set and be photographed and on film. they have to learn, depending on what the animal is, you have to train them to sit still.
Yeah, which people think their dogs are trained. You can train it to sit in the house.
Yeah.
And then, like my dog, he's fully trained. Like, he's a therapy dog. But he's also deaf, so I have that going for me. I can take him into Times Square off-leash, and he's not going anywhere.
Oh, like, he's not freaking out with all the sound.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And the fact, like, the people walking around, like, he's very trained where, like, with distractions and stuff, he trusts me enough to do that. So when I get these other animals in, all I teach them is sit, or whatever the task is that we need to do, so they trust me enough, which you don't have enough time to train a dog, you know, that is just a house dog, in time to do a commercial without proper time. So some of my clients in LA, I've been training them slowly, like, this is what your dog needs to do if you want to get to this level.
Yes.
Like, this is what you need to do with your dog now when she's 1 year old and starting to grow, as opposed to what these other people are doing. Because when you have a dog that isn't trained that goes on set, they're looking for dogs that no look left on command, no look right on command, no head on the ground.
Oh, you know, really?
Like, it's intense.
Say you're shooting a commercial.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for a dog who not only can sit, stay, lay down, do those normal things.
Without leash, with you 50 to 20 yards away.
With cameras everywhere, with lights,
hundreds
with
of people. Yeah.
Oh,
that's what they need. And it's not hard to do. You can get dogs and cats to do this stuff without being stressed. The problem that I see in Hollywood is that the animals are stressed. You can see animal stress on their faces when you work with a specific person that just, I'm totally going to stutter on this. It's great.
No, you're fine. You're good.
Yeah, when you work with like a specific person that, we just did an Xfinity commercial and I had to hire two non-famous animals. One of the animals was stressed, one was not. And when I went into it, I didn't have the specific animal that they wanted, so I had to hire one out.
And where do you do that from?
Well, there's so many people that, you know, they're trainers, really, that you really hire from.
Gotcha.
But for the most part, what I like to do is go into a shelter and get an animal, train it, and then I adopt it out through a rescue. And with that, once someone knows that that animal has been on a TV show or on a commercial or on something, there's more than 20 applications on that animal, regardless of what they look like. The cat that was on set was so ugly. Mm-hmm. No, he was adorable. Like, I just wanted to eat him up, but, like, he was ugly.
Yeah, like Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, exactly. He kind of looked like that. He had that, like, smushed face, angry look. Yeah.
I'm mad.
So when you see the commercial, you know I did it.
Yeah.
It's Xfinity for the Winter Olympics, but
I saw that on your company's Facebook page.
Yeah.
So it's for the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
That's amazing. There's also, I wrote down a couple things, because also there was a dog that you represent that the dog, like, if you think, like, oh, that seems like a lot of work, I don't know if I want to put so much time into promoting my pet on social media. One of the dogs went to W Hotel in Mexico.
Yeah,
with the humans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so we organized all of that for her. So the W Hotel reached out to us, and they wanted specific people to do that. Yeah,
specific people and animals.
And animals. They wanted they wanted to promote that their hotels are pet friendly. So you can now go on vacation with your pets.
Uh-huh.
For the people like me, who I'm either giving my dog to my parents who live 7 hours away in Arizona because my dog's a total jerk without me there. Or I'm going on vacation with my dog. Like, that's just how I am, because he'll destroy someone else's house. He won't do it with me.
Yeah.
But
he's like your kid.
Yeah, he's a jerk.
He sounds cool, though.
He is. You'd love him. Like, he's awesome. When he's working, he's on point. When he has his therapy dog collar on, or he has, like, a little bandana, you can poke your finger in his eye and he'll sit there and take it. When he's at the dog park, he is, like, a sumo wrestler, like, with these other dogs and rolling around and biting them. And he has all these things. And when he's on set, he's like, do you need an over-the-shoulder shot? Do you need a this? Do you need a that? And he's been New York. Photographers call me back because they want to work with him again, because he's, like, working with a person.
Yeah.
Where I shouldn't say that because he's my dog and I'm crazy like all my clients are, but, you know.
No, I get it. He's trained.
Very
You've been
trained.
With him forever, and he knows how to be on a set. And can deliver.
Yeah, and they don't need to crop out the leash. They don't need to crop out the person standing next to the animal.
Yeah.
Because I'm standing behind set, behind camera, so he looks at me and it's easier for them. It's
so
less expensive.
I was thinking about, like, just being a pet influencer and why brands would choose to work with, say, a dog or a cat over a human.
Oh,
and obviously sometimes it depends on
what the
topic,
and,
you know, whatever. But a lot of times, it seems like when it's people, you risk, like, what if they're famous already and they do something or say something
like a sex
that's
scandal or,
off brand.
Can I say that? Or
yeah.
No?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know.
You can't. You're good. You're like a pro on the podcast.
Oh, good.
Already. See, it's fun. Right?
I'll come in anytime. I'll bring Charlie once if you want.
I should have told you to bring him.
He's in Arizona. I just flew back from town. Oh, he's with my parents. Yeah, and I go out there this weekend to get him.
But with animals, they never go off brand. I mean, they're just, they're who they are.
Well, they do, because we have, like, the Home Depot. That was for a carpet. We've done Stain Match, which, again, those two products kind of relate back to animals. Uh-huh. But we just did a Ferdinand the Bull promotion. We've done, you know, so many different companies. We've done sunglasses. We've done, you know, ones that aren't animal-based. But the pro to animals is they don't have those scandals. That's exactly what I was going to say. They don't have scandals. People look at, like, look at the Kardashians. They charge how much for a picture post? At least 10,000 plus. I mean, basic celebrities with 100,000, they charge 10,000 to do a promotional post. My animals have a higher...
Like when you see an Instagram post that has hashtag ad.
Yeah, or sponsored with a big celebrity, like even a D-list celebrity.
Yeah.
They're charging 10,000 plus for that. So the engagement that they get on something like that is actually much less than what my animals get. And they charge... My animals charge much less. Like Juniper Fox is one of mine. A picture post of hers, she gets 1.5 million impressions on each picture.
Wow.
Videos get even higher.
Can brands tell how that translates into, like, say, direct sales of whatever they're promoting?
Yeah. So there are ways to do it, and certain brands want to and certain don't, depending on what the product is. We have many different options. But, like, with the Nissan thing, we didn't have any links going over to see how many people bought Nissans because of that promotion. There isn't a way to track that, but when you do Instagram stories now, they have the swipe up.
Oh,
you can
right.
put that in, you can track that. You can track the individual links that you put in Instagram on top. So when people click on, you know how many sales or how many clickovers come from that person, which is awesome for us too, because I have certain clients that have similar following and some will sell triple the amount of others. So when a brand comes to me, that's data that I can use and data that I can show them, like, hey, look, you're paying the same amount for both of these. This is this person's sale, and this is this person's
this
sale.
This dog kills it. This dog, eh.
So they probably have some fake followers there, or they aren't as engaged with their client, or their clients are followers, or they aren't. There's something that's going on there, and I can usually pinpoint what it is without saying any specific names. There are certain clients that I've had to drop because of that, but for the most part, I've only had to drop, like, two people now. So now it's going to be more.
How many animals do you represent now total?
Over 90. I'm almost at 100. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I need to cut it down. But I keep getting more and more people that are messaging me that want... I get more emails of, I live in LA and my dog is the best dog ever and he should be in film. And I'm like, I can't... Like, I can't even use the famous animals sometimes for commercials, let alone a dog that isn't famous and isn't trained. If I'm doing a dog that isn't trained, I have dogs that do backflips on command that are trained. Like, legit, my dog can't do that. Like, one can ride a scooter. They do things that you would never expect. Like, when you watch a dog on TV or a commercial and it scratches at the glass, that's on cue. When you see a dog look to the camera and look off, that's on cue. All of those things.
Yeah, that wasn't just them sitting with the camera for an hour hoping they do it. They just did it.
The dog sitting there, when the dog walks up to camera and sits on a spot or on a point, like, that's spot training. Like, I look at it and I see all the specific things. So when we get a casting call, we just got one for a new TV show where we need horses. And I obviously live in LA. I don't have horses, but we have horse wranglers. And I try to work with people that rescue and then we just give money back to rescue too for everything that we do. Because I think that's important. You know?
Totally. Especially for what you do.
Yeah. Like, we partner with the ASPCA and the Dodo and, like, all these really cool companies. It's fun.
The Dodo.
I love them.
Heck, like, yeah.
I talk to them on the daily. I'm going into their office in the next month. This month.
Specific to Instagram, how important do you think a great photo or video is compared to a witty caption? Or how important do you think the caption is?
I think
for an
it depends on the person and the animal and the client. Like, everyone is so different.
Yeah.
So
can I just say that myself and my fiance and a bunch of people in his family all follow Dean the Basset.
Oh, yeah.
And have for, like, a while. And when I contacted you and you showed me your roster, I didn't see Dean right away.
Yeah.
And last night, I was pulling it up.
We just did Furbo with Dean, yeah. They're so sweet.
Dean and his friends Chief, he's got some other friends, some other basset hounds in Canada.
Yep.
I think. Mm-hmm. They all have friends and they all hang out, which is amazing. But Dean the Basset has really great captions.
Yeah.
And I feel like his captions
make
you feel like you know the dog.
Yeah, you do. So everyone has a different take on it. So like Dean does more comedy.
Yeah.
And it's more, I think he's very, people like that, I think, do it the best, to be honest. Because, like, they're very witty, and it's more from the dog's perspective. And then you have some that post, like, Pompous Albert, if you know who that is.
I don't know.
It's like, the next Grumpy Cat. He's really, really ugly, and I would take him in a hot second, because I am obsessed with him. He's like...
Does he look grumpy?
Oh, yeah. He's hideous. You want to see it before we get
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I can't even take it.
I'll search him. I have my phone.
But they're, we just did a campaign with them, and his pictures make my day. Out of everyone, but they post witty captions.
Wait,
like,
okay, so
just
it's
read
at,
the caption.
It's at pompous.albert.
No, just no dot, just Albert.
Wait, is there a fake one?
Oh, maybe there is a dot. Okay, great. That's ours. Yeah.
Pompous.albert. His eyes, I mean, he looks... Is this his normal mad face?
No, that's his resting face.
His resting.
Yeah.
His RBF.
Yeah.
Whoa, Pompous.
He has a t-shirt that says resting face.
Of course.
We just did it, yeah. It's so funny.
That's another thing that that a lot of the, like, animal smart owners mm-hmm. are doing, is creating their own income with t-shirts mm-hmm. or calendars or
just a calendar,
all that stuff. Do a lot of your clients with, you know, a million plus followers, have they all been kind of doing that and making money
through
in that
me,
way?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there's, because a lot of them don't know how to navigate it. There's a lot of brands out there that, like, t-shirt companies and this and that calendars, printing, that they take advantage of them. They give them, you know, either royalties on something where they should be getting a fixed percentage. They give them, and they basically screw them out of a lot of money. And that's why I kind of started it, because I saw one of my now favorite clients and biggest clients being taken advantage of online. Mm-hmm. And I just reached out to him and I was like, hey, like, you don't know me from anyone, but this example, like, I just want to give you a shout out. Like, you shouldn't be doing this because of XYZ. And she messaged me back. She's like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I'm like, if you ever need help, like,
she was
just
trying to
me.
Sell some type of merchandise or something.
No, and brand was making her promote something for free. And I was like, you have an audience. People will pay you for this, but if you do free stuff, no one's going to do it for you.
Yeah.
And this was when I was, like, doing real estate in New York City. I was working with, like, the $1 million listing guys. I was doing all their mortgages. Like, I did all their it was crazy. And I'm like, just, like, having fun on Instagram. Like, if you ever need help, let me know. Like, didn't think anything of it. And then she was like, I need someone that will help me. And it just started as a favor, grew to, like, a friendship, and then other people just kept being like, hey, I heard about you. And
I heard that you
what's
know
your company?
To...
And I'm like, my dog company's dog on cue. But, like, whatever.
Pets on cue?
Yeah, now it's pets on cue.
Dogs on cue.
Yeah.
So are there other pet agency like yours in L.A.?
No.
Are there, like, I know you said that there's, like, a few other that exist.
That exist, yeah.
And
there's
is that a
they
growing
don't
market?
Do, well, I kind of saturated the market. Like, I have all the animals for the most part.
Yeah.
When it comes to the film world, there's two other companies that do just paid promotions online for animals specifically.
Okay.
One I know doesn't do much business. The other one, I have heard nothing but complaints. I don't want to talk about them,
no,
obviously.
Yeah.
But the other one is
if
everyone
a lot,
hates them.
I'm like, just curious, like, modeling agencies for humans,
yeah,
if there's a lot
bunch.
Of pet agencies.
There aren't that many animals that have a specific draw. Like, Dean is one of them that has a very specific draw. Juniper Fox, Rhea the Naked Bird. I have animals that don't have that draw that are, like, you know, that don't get called on promotions. That don't get, because they just have... Their captions aren't as witty. They're, you know, the captions, the video, the lights, the editing on photos is really important. But I think that it does come down to the caption and connecting with your fans.
That leads me to, I wrote down a couple of the clients that you talk about. But I imagine when you have an animal that goes viral, like Rhea the Naked Bird.
Yeah. Who do you think makes it go viral?
This girl right here.
Yeah.
Because I remember I first saw her on...
the Dodo.
I think I saw her on BuzzFeed.
Oh, okay.
But regardless, saw her online
because
people were sending her sweaters.
Can I tell you something fun that we can't talk? I don't know if I can say I need to look into it, but about Rhea, Well,
she's
I
about
saw that
to,
she passed
yeah,
away. Yeah, I know. I met her too, and I'm like, she was the sweetest thing. She bit me.
So Rhea the naked bird is naked because she had a beak and feather disease, right?
I love that you know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember the story, and because like here, I think we covered it.
She was like this big. Like she was itty bitty, smallest little thing, and like she loved her mom. It was actually one of the cutest relationships
I've ever
seen.
So she already had her mom was already posting pictures of her on Instagram. Mm-hmm. She gained a following because people probably thought like, oh, she's so sad and cute.
Her following in the beginning, people actually were really mean to her. So she almost stopped doing it because she's
mean
like
to the owner.
Owner, yeah, because she would post pictures and videos of her and they're like, this bird should have been put down and blah, blah. People hated her until she went viral and then it completely changed.
But what would she have done?
Like it's people like think that it's humanely euthanizing an animal. She's like, she's not feeling it. She just has a terminal illness that's going to kill her eventually. Gotcha. But if you manage the condition properly, it's going to extend her life a little bit more. The bird could have died, you know, a lot, like a long time ago.
Right.
She could have lived another 6 months.
But she cared for it really well.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Most spoiled bird ever.
So how did you get into contact with her?
I don't remember.
But
I don't know if she reached out to me or if I reached out to her on something. I think the Dodo people that put me in touch with her? Or usually people will ask certain brands, like, hey, do you know any management? Or like people that have worked with us in the past will say, hey, I sent your contact on to this animal because they have a big following. I want to work with them. And I told them that you're great because the other people in the industry aren't.
Gotcha.
And they don't want them to work with them.
So she had gained a following a little bit. You guys started working together. And then what was the point that her story got picked up by a bunch of news outlets?
It got picked up before. So it like went viral itself first.
Oh, okay.
And then it died down.
Gotcha.
And then when I took on, we licensed some videos and sold them off to do that. And that's when it got pushed and we partnered with the Dodo and then we pushed
and
her hard.
More people started sending her sweaters.
You should see her sweater collection. She is like a full dresser for this. And the sweaters are like this big and it's full.
Her handle is at Rhea underscore the naked birdie. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then, so Rhea, I'm actually meeting, right before I came here, I was supposed to be on the phone with them, but I had to push it to tomorrow. But she just got offered to do a animated TV show in Asia.
Rhea?
And we're
like
also,
her character.
Her character, yeah. I have like the animations and
I
all
saw
that
the owner also created Rhea emojis.
Yeah, that was me too.
That it's amazing what, taking a step back here, I just think it's incredible how Instagram specifically is you could be in anywhere in the world and have this naked little bird and just create so many opportunities for yourself in that way.
Yeah. So my goal with her was to have her quit her, but then Rhea passed away.
Yeah.
So now my goal with her, like I'm not dropping her as a client because I love her. She's like my clients become friends. I'm a manager. I'm not an agent. Like I'm in it for the long haul. So we're trying to now help her start a bird sanctuary. So she can let Rhea's, you know.
Oh yeah. She's been posting about other birds.
Yeah.
So she cares for a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's about to post on a calendar maybe today. I don't know if she's going to do it today or tomorrow, but her calendar's coming out too. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. So we're hoping that we get, like we're working with a really big production company and already that we have a Asia company that has, they're itching at the bit to have us sign to do a full series on Rhea and her Yorkie. She has a Yorkie as well. Oh. So it's going to be like a friend series. And Isabella has a disabled brother, and that's why her heart broke for Rhea is because her brother is
Isabella's the owner.
Yes. Sorry. Yes. I should probably say that. I feel like people know, but they don't. And her brother's disabled. And so getting Rhea, you know, like, cause no one else would take her in like that. So she kind of related it to her brother, I guess. That's kind of what they're making the show about.
Yeah.
And her,
Rhea is such a good representative for a show like that, because when you're little and you have something going on that's maybe not normal. You have a quirk, something.
Yeah.
It's not until later in life when you can start to appreciate that that's what makes you interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know what I mean? And I feel like Rhea, the naked bird.
Yeah.
Like, when all other birds have feathers and she's just naked.
And she's, like, happy
and tiny
as can be.
And is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it's like,
well,
she's a perfect
representative.
Her slogan
is, beautiful is different. Different is beautiful, sorry.
Aww.
And we sell a bunch of t-shirts on that and she has a bunch of other merchandise as well, but she uses all that money for the other birds and to start a sanctuary. And she's an awesome human being. And, like, is a supermodel. Like, I can't, She's the owner. Yeah. I'm like, can you stop being like a perfect human being?
Can you just stop killing it and having all these great birds? That leads me to Venus the Two-Faced Cat. Mm-hmm. Why does this cat have... So it's at Venus Two-Faced Cat, mm-hmm. if anyone wants to look it up. Why is it he or she?
She.
Why does she have... Is that just... She's born like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
So she was born and actually rescued. Her owner rescued her. So she was born and abandoned in a barn.
What? So this cat has
Her sister looks just like her. She has a sister, too, that has two faces, but it's not as prominent in Venus because the black isn't as dark and the orange isn't as orange. It's more, like, muted.
Wow. Like, have they said anything about what the parents looked like? I'm curious if,
I think it was a tortoise-colored, which means it's orange and black, but they think that she's a chimera, which means that you have two different sets of DNA in one body. It's very rare to have, but people have it as well, where like if you draw blood twice, like then you can have two different sets of DNA as two people, but you don't feel any different.
Right.
One person is just that in the womb, you kind of messed up and there were two sets of DNA that got merged and in one body.
And they think that could be what Venus is experiencing.
Yeah, but it also could not be because some cats have, you know, heterochromia isn't uncommon in animals. My dog has two different colored eyes.
Yeah, so Venus has one green eye on the blacks, like mm-hmm. the darker side of her face, and then on the like calico looking side, she is blue.
Yeah.
Wow. But so this is an interesting case because did the owner look at this cat and say,
no.
Wow, this cat needs to be out there.
Yeah, no, that story is actually different from everyone else. Everyone else put their animals online. Everyone else tried to push it or tried to do something with their animals. Venus actually, she didn't post her online. A friend of hers came over and took a picture, posted it, and that photo went viral. And she's like, has anxiety. She starts freaking out because she's like, someone's going to come steal my cat. Like, this, and she didn't post it. She's never posted her cat before. You know, it's her cat. Like, you don't do that.
Probably most people are kind of like, I'm fine just having the animal and I'll make money my own way.
Like a normal human being. And this was around the time before any famous animals were there. She's one of the first.
Okay.
But Venus's owner kind of started it very differently. And I admire what she's done with
it. Did she just eventually accept the fact that this cat's out
there
and
like,
I'm just going to go with it?
She told me she told her husband, well, it happened. So I'm going to ride the gravy boat if it's coming. So she started all the accounts, and she has like millions and millions and millions of very loyal fans.
Venus the Two-Faced Cat is at 1.4 million followers.
And her Facebook is at like 2 or 3 million.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lanta. Okay.
My Lanta.
Juniper Fox.
Oh, when do we start?
Oh, we're on, girl.
We are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't like to do the hard start.
Yeah.
Like, hello, here we are, because I don't know.
Good to know.
Juniper Fox with two X's.
Yes.
This is interesting because a fox is a wild animal.
Yeah.
How did the owner come to meet Juniper and adopt Juniper in some way? Like what's that story?
She's very advocate. She's a big advocate of fur farming and making sure that animals are not used for that. So she actually just got a new fox. If you look at him, same account, but he's one of his eyes is messed up. One of his paws is missing.
Oh, Juniper and Fig.
Mm-hmm.
So it's at Juniper,
Fox.
JuniperFoxx.
Uh-huh.
Wow. She has two. So she had trained with foxes before?
Yeah, she's worked with exotics before. Juniper is, you know, one of my all-time favorites. I probably shouldn't say that, but like she's been with me from the very beginning. And she kind of just kills everything that she does. We just launched mugs.
I saw that.
Yeah.
So it's like a little fox mug.
So I designed it, did stuff in China and got them all manufactured, had them sent over. And I was like, well, let's start, you know, with 1,000 and see how it does. Sold out in less than a week.
And how do you advertise that on?
She posted it one time.
On Instagram?
Yep.
Wow.
And it sold out. I literally left for like it went live 2 days before I left for Thailand. I came back and it was done. And I was like, oh, crap. we need to order yeah. so many more.
Yeah, the Juniper mugs are.
Yeah, and she just, we did a book deal with her that's about to be launched, and it's out for pre-sale now, Barnes & Noble, and it's about Juniper's story from the owner's perspective, because you really get on Facebook and Instagram the foxes and, like, the silly side of their family and, like, their friendship there, but you don't really hear Juniper's story, and it's kind of the first time that she's been public with Juniper's story. Fig's story's in there. Moose's story's in there. That's her dog. And she also has, she has tarantulas. She has a chameleon. She has sugar gliders. She's
a gecko, right? Yeah.
So her goal is to start a sanctuary, and she's awesome. Like, I'm really proud of her and everything that she's accomplished, and what we've done together has been really fun. And she's really hard to get a hold of, but awesome to work with.
She posted something that I thought I was really, I thought it was, I wrote it down because I just didn't start following Juniper Fox until I met you.
Yeah.
And one of the things, it was a video of him like digging through a bowl and there wasn't food in there. But part of it, she said, was just a friendly reminder, because he kind of started like biting at her hand a little bit.
Yeah.
Like he was just playing around and, you know, whatnot. And she said, just a friendly reminder to everyone that these guys are still wild animals. Even though they look and act adorable occasionally, they are still true to their nature. Meaning that I'm sure that Juniper is very well behaved and cute and like a great animal.
She's a wild fox.
But
she
yes.
She bites her owner. Yes. She bites anyone that comes over. She pees on the rug, which is why the Home Depot thing was awesome, because it's actually a pet-proof rug and it doesn't stain because foxes smell like pee.
Oh, so Juniper worked with Home Depot as
she promoted for them their new rug. So
okay.
Yeah, and it's great. It ended up working out perfectly for her as well, because she loves the product. Home Depot was happy with the post they did, and then she ended up doing another story about the rug and how awesome it is without, you know, Home Depot being involved, and it ended up being great, you know, because
yeah.
Juniper is awesome.
Yeah, I looked at that and I liked how transparent she was about that too, because you would see this and maybe think, oh, look, a fox. It's just like a dog. Maybe we should get a fox.
People do that all the time. She stops people from getting foxes all the time. She's like, look, I have an experience with this. Like, I have a history of owning these animals. They don't live inside with her 100% of the time. Like, they do have outdoor enclosures. She has to have proper licensing. If you have a fox, especially a red fox, in certain states, they're going to be taken away and put down. They can't, you know, they can't do the rabies. And if they bite you, instantly they get put down. Mm-hmm. So with her owning, I guess I shouldn't say owning the fox, but that, you know, she's great. Yeah. But
taking care.
Don't get taking a pet fox.
That's that's
without proper licensing. Don't do it.
But you can follow it on Instagram.
Yeah. Which is, she's so unique. I think that that's part of the appeal. Like what you said with Rhea, Juniper, and Venus, those are three very unique animals that other people don't know. And I think that that appeal and the voices that the three of them have are all very different, because Juniper's like, this is what it's like to own a fox. Don't do it. Like, because of XYZ reasons. Rhea's more like happy-go-lucky, and Venus is more like witty captions from the cat's perspective.
Yeah.
So depending on what you like, there's so many different animals out there that you can follow.
Totally. And speaking of Nala.
Yes.
Nala underscore cat.
Yes.
Is her handle. She's one of your biggest,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah.
How did you, and her owner is in Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a few hours from here.
How did you get connected with her?
I don't know if I can say that.
Oh, that's
okay. She had a bad experience with a different...
Gotcha. So she already was sort of... is the owner super social media savvy? Or how I mean, because...
Well, she was in it from the beginning, like with Venus. So with Nala, started it all.
Because Nala also is verified on Instagram.
She
is. So whenever I come across a human being that's verified, it makes me laugh.
She's been in... she's brought Nala in like a stroller into Instagram headquarters.
No.
Yeah, no joke. It's like the life that I live now, like the stories that I tell about these animals is like, sometimes I have to think like, did I just pitch a book about a fox and a movie about a bird?
Yeah.
Like, this is my life.
And
we have major production companies that are working on the movie, and Juniper Fox is being geared up to be a New York Times bestseller it's their number one produced book for 2018 right now. For that company that we worked with,
that's incredible.
It's amazing.
All because she adopted, all because she rescued a fox.
Yeah, and she's very big in the rescue world with, kind of advising people like not to do this, not to, you know, trying to shut down the fur farms, trying to shut down. Like she's a really great person. They all are. They're all great.
So with Nala, mm-hmm. did the owner just jump on Instagram as soon as Instagram kind of became a thing? I mean, how? Because Nala has 3.5 million followers.
Yeah, she also has White Coffee Cat, Hello Luna Rose, Spencer and Steve, Stella and Steve, and Spencer the dog. They have so many animals in their house.
And do they all have social media accounts?
And they all are big.
So the owner is managing all of her animals' accounts.
Yeah, there's two owners. They're married, obviously. And they each had the different animals when they met. They actually met because of social media, because of Nala.
Really?
They met because one of them made cat collars. And she messaged Nala's owner and was like, hey, like, I wanted to send this to you. And they became friends online. And they met and they're like, they hit it off and it's the cutest love story and no one knows it because you just see these cats and I keep telling them they need to be promoting that because it's like
I knew it was
warms
true
my
love
heart.
I knew it was true love when I saw your cat on Instagram.
Yeah, but some of their cats didn't get along, but now they're all awesome. And she does a lot with like one of her cats, Coffee, has cancer, and she does a lot with she wants to do a hospice for cats type sanctuary type thing to give them a good end of their life eventually. That's kind of their goal. But they do this full-time. This is their full-time job.
This is. Mm-hmm. Was it how long have they been doing this full-time? Do you know?
Since before I signed them. So it's been over a year now that it's been full-time for them.
So you obviously don't have to say specifically how much they make. But, for example, if Nala, someone like Nala with 3.5 million followers, is working with a big company and mm-hmm. she posts about it, on average, like roughly, what
I'm
is per
give you
per
different
post?
Rough figures.
Okay.
So it's
okay.
Not like, so I have specific accounts that will bring in six figures a year.
Wow.
Nala, they do stuff differently as well. So
yeah.
For this year.
So basically, and is that coming from mostly from posting on their account with working with like sponsored mm-hmm. ads? Or is it also because maybe she sells some of her own merchandise?
Yeah, there's so many things that go into it, which is like, this is why it separates me from a manager, as a manager, that I will look at multiple different platforms and how they make money. I have some small accounts that are the 20,000 mark that actually make more than 500,000 accounts because of certain licensing deals that we've had with a specific animal that they don't really care for the animal to be big as long as they're making that money off of it. They don't care. And then I have big accounts that aren't making those type of deals because the big accounts get paid more off of merchandise, off of paid promotions with a brand like Home Depot or, you know, West Elm, or you know, we've done, Stainmaster and, you know, some major brands. And they get a lot of promotions off that merchandise. Certain licensing deals, royalties off of, like, we do everything from, we have holiday calendars, birthday cards we've sold, and like images to people. We will license out images to major, we work with a major makeup brand with Kobe the Cat.
I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
So at Kobe the Cat.
Yes.
Is beautiful.
Stunning.
It's a white cat. Is it female or male?
Kobe's a boy, yeah.
Boy, okay. He's got white hair, but he has these like very beautiful light blue eyes. And then
like eyeliner.
And
yeah.
Literally like eyeliner. And then I saw
the makeup
that you
company
guys
reached
paired
out
with, yeah. So you guys paired with a makeup company and it's advertising eyeliner.
Yeah. And
for
the best
humans.
Part for humans, yeah, in a specific country that isn't even the US because Kobe has a larger following there. So this company, when we go over contracts and stuff, I think that again separates us is that company is very cruelty-free with animals. And they're like, we do not want people to think that Kobe has our eyeliner on. We want people to think that they can have eyeliner like him with the product.
Right.
Because you can't get it on your own because you're not Kobe the Cat type thing.
Right.
And they were so great to work with. And they're sending me up some of the eyeliner. I can't wait to use it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I feel like looking at a post like this, I have it up. It's this one.
Yeah. Isn't that, she's so creative.
So the cat is looking in the mirror. Like kind of looking at himself, like, am I pretty?
And like one of those little makeup mirrors, yeah.
Yeah, and the caption is, sure, you could have my eyes. Just check out Obaticaros. That's the brand.
Yeah, it's in Brazil, yeah.
New Make B roller eyeliner. I've already knocked it off the table twice, so you know it's good. I feel like for me, not knowing this brand mm-hmm. or this cat really, just seeing it, that makes me think that the brand is funny and kind of like sort of social media savvy as mm-hmm. well. Like they know that this cat has a big following.
Yeah.
And they're being like creative and funny with it. And it makes me like the brand more, to be honest.
The brand, I actually really like that brand. They're really cool to work with. And they mean the language barrier is there, but it's really awesome.
Is this Portuguese?
Yes. But they were great to work with because not only did they want to promote their product on Kobe's account, they wanted Kobe's images to be the brand ambassador. So with something like that is that we also would license those images for them to have the rights to use those images indefinitely.
Gotcha.
So we do different licensing deals as well with specific brands and likeness.
You are
and whatnot.
Super, super business savvy.
Yeah, thank you.
Seriously.
I appreciate it.
I mean, I think that there's so much that goes into this. And even sitting down, you talking about all these other things that I need to think about. I'm like, wow.
We make more money on things that you don't see than things that I will be posting, for sure.
Gotcha.
Like a TV commercial or a commercial with a pet that they might not be promoting online.
Gotcha.
But you'll see on TV that animal.
Like maybe if you're just watching a commercial, you see an animal in there, you know. They probably were bankrolling from
that.
And
the best part is, like, if I do take if one of my famous animals don't fit the bill for it, or it's too cheap for one of my famous animals to do that, they won't fly their animal out for it. The best part is that there is a similar animal at a shelter that I'll pull and use the money that we make for that to give to a rescue or to pay for the adoption fee for that animal or for another animal. And it's really awesome that we have a platform to be able to do that, which is something that I never had in, you know, any other job before.
Finance.
Finance.
Yeah. And finance. So if someone is sort of thinking of getting into this world, do you have like a couple tips that you would say to, if you're an owner with, you think that your animal is the next best
Everyone
thing.
Everyone thinks their animal is the next best.
I mean, would you say that when it comes to gaining a following, is it about posting consistently? Mm-hmm. Is it about taking good pictures, using hashtags, hanging out?
Posting time. So some of my bigger animals, everyone has different posting days that work better for them and different posting times that work better for them that also correlate with theirs. This will correlate with their demographic.
Makes sense. I get it. Yeah, totally. Yeah,
so if it correlates with that, then specific brands want to work with them. And then I'm getting totally off topic, but everyone posts differently. Like Juniper posts between 1 and 3 Eastern time every day. Like that's her prime posting time.
She knows that's good.
She knows that that's when her fans are either having lunch or having breakfast on the West Coast. And that's when her fans go to look at her because that's when she posts every day. So she has that relationship with her fans and she communicates back and forth. Whereas Kobe's posting time is 6 a.m. Pacific. You know, like he posts first thing in the morning. When I wake up, Kobe's posting. It's the first thing I see in the morning every day because it falls into when I wake up. But like 5, 6, 4 a.m., like whatever it is for them, whenever she gets up, that's when she posts.
Isn't that funny that most of the bigger brands that people follow on Instagram probably have that that schedule or that mentality
where
of
they think
it's,
they
not
know
just
it's not
just spur of the moment. Here I am with my cat.
Well, a lot of people do that. And then they, you know, get really upset that, like, I don't care. I post whenever I want to with my dog. But like with, you know, specific people online, they'll post, you know, 8 o'clock at night. And for some people that works. Videos tend to do well posted at night. Photos tend to do well posted during the day, I would say first thing in the morning and midday, but there's this gray area in the middle of the day that most people are at work or just ending school and they're not checking their Instagram.
Right.
So that's when, you know, it's kind of a gray area. So if you post in that time, you're going to get a significant less. I mean,
do you remember, were you doing this when Instagram changed its algorithm?
Yes, I was.
How did that affect your job?
Do you know how many calls I got? Freaked out people.
So for people who don't know, Instagram used to
They just changed it again.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
It used to be chronological. Mm-hmm. Like you would say when you opened your Instagram, you would see the very most recent person you follow's post.
Yeah.
But then they changed it to be similar to Facebook to where it aggregates to where what they think you would most like to see. So you could see a post from 4 days ago and then the next one could be, you know, 3 minutes
ago. They just changed it again. So you're seeing people that you don't follow in the noon story and they go up first if they follow a specific, you know, algorithm course of what they do. So Instagram stories are now huge.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, you can favorite a story, like star it, and then it'll be up there for 36 hours or more depending on. So when we work with brands, that's an option because that's where people are going to swipe.
Is stories.
Yeah.
Oh, so maybe they're more into the stories because exactly, you can click through. It's a lot easier to go to a
our
landing
stories
page
get, you know, when we brand that pay for stories now, and it's significant business for us because it's a quick turnaround. They can pay for way more amount of coverage that has seen by more people and do multiple stories as opposed to an Instagram post now. So, and it becomes a little bit more private for the client, so it doesn't look like they're advertising constantly.
Right.
And it's a way for them to be able to, because a lot of them, they do this as a job. Like, they will work hours and hours every day to be getting these images, editing the images, coming up with captions. Look, you people actually look into this, and they have a system around it that they do, and they spend a lot of time, and they have a big following, so why not optimize on that, especially when they know that I'm working with them and we do donate back. So everything that they do, you know, does go back. Not all of our clients donate, but most of them
do. You guys have to really keep up with changes in
technology.
But I mean, just because, like, as I mean, just something as simple as them changing their algorithm totally can alter your client's whole day.
This past week they changed it again. So it's something that I need to constantly update them on. And depending on who's doing a post, and, you know, we find that a lot of our clients that, you know, reach out to us to help them with stuff more, we kind of end up doing more with because they're there.
Do you feel that people sort of sometimes will adopt an animal because they think that it could be popular on social media? Have you come across that? A specific kind of breed?
Yes, which I disagree with, obviously.
Yeah.
As
well,
a trainer,
I'm just going to put this out there. I don't know if this is really the case or not, but I feel like I see a lot of French bulldogs lately.
Yeah.
Not that it's not that every French bulldog owner wants to, you know, make their dog insta famous, but
there's a lot of famous ones out there, but
Yeah. Do you think that's a thing?
Yes, it is. There it's a designer breed right now. It's going away because people are seeing all the health issues with it.
Right.
Coming from a trainer's perspective that has not seen a French bulldog outlive 10 years.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are dying young from, you know, they have to have the surgery where it opens up their nasal passage. A lot of them have to have a major surgery, which costs $10,000, $5,000 to $10,000 on a French bulldog. They all snore. They all have major health issues. And it's bad because I don't blame the breed. I blame the breeders that are overbreeding and inbreeding that are causing these issues because it's a popular breed right now. Unfortunate, and that's unfortunate for that breed. And not to say that there are bad breeders out there. There are some great ones that come with French bulldogs.
Right.
But I think that if you want a French bulldog, you have to do a lot of research and make sure that you go to a rescue. I have a rescue right now. My road dog's rescue. They have a, they have two 10-week-old French bulldog puppies that their mom was just rescued. I fostered her, but she was just rescued from a puppy mill, and the puppies are up for adoption. Like, you can get a rescue French bulldog too.
Right.
That if you aren't going that route and you want to go to a breeder, make sure you know all of the genetics on the mother and father, grandparents, know how long they live, know what surgeries they've had, know everything about them if you are spending that money on that kind of dog, because it's not fair to you to buy this dog or the dog's life.
Yeah.
And it's going to die, you know, really young. I feel terrible for people that own Frenchies and aren't aware of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Long story short.
No, it's true. They're a lot. I live down in the South Bay, and there's French bulldogs. Every time I'm outside, I see one.
Yeah. And everywhere.
They're like, they are trending right now.
Yes.
The French bulldog. In general, don't you think that Instagram, like, when you're talking about what you do to say, like, a grandparent, do they get it?
No.
Like, how would you even explain your job? Because I always think about, like, because I do social media here.
Yeah.
And in general, explaining what Instagram specifically is hard.
Yeah.
And especially if...
Well, my grandparents are all on Facebook, unfortunately, now. Like, fortunately, and they all follow my dog. So they see some of the things that
he does. So they kind of get it.
But they all think that I just make money off of my dog, which my dog doesn't make anything compared to the big ones.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting to see. And then I have to, like, show them on Facebook, like a Venus, and be like, look, this cat has millions of followers, and look at all, like, these are brand promotions that they got paid X for this.
So now I manage this cat and get the owner money and you know, share the love to the world.
Well, I basically just say, like, I love working with animals, and that's what I'm doing for my living. And,
yeah.
like, that's all I can say, because they just don't get it. My parents are coming around to it, but they're tech savvy, so.
Yeah.
But they still are like, I don't understand.
Well, it's
why
such a weird, it honestly is
it's
such
so weird.
A weird thing to do. It's mm-hmm. very normal at this point.
Yeah.
But it's such a weird thing to think that you could be in Missoula, Montana, mm-hmm. and if you have a good looking dog and you know how to post and you yeah. know to follow the right people, hang out with the right people, use hashtags, you can make a living just from.
Yeah.
Using Instagram.
Most of them live in the middle of nowhere, by the way. And then I have clients that live in South America, in Europe, in Asia. Like, I have clients all over the place. But the fact that I think that I have a job doing this is, like, the craziest thing
yes.
in my head. Like, hey, I'm going to Fox today to be interviewed about animals. And they get paid. Like, the animals
yes.
make more than their owners do. It's great.
I know. And the animals just have no idea. They just want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to...
They
eat.
Do.
They just want to eat. They just
yeah.
want to get belly rubs.
Sometimes.
maybe not the Raya the birdie.
Yeah, no, sad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, R.I.P.
Yeah.
I didn't realize she'd passed away until, like, this week.
Oh, yeah.
But I like that the owner is still sharing, like, still obviously rescuing other birds mm-hmm. and, like, sharing their stories, too,
with
that platform.
Well, she was rescuing before... It happened, and it's just sad that the whole thing kind of came to that. I mean, the amount of people, the letters that she got, like, I'm not a crier, and I, like, bawled. There's a little girl who watches one of my employees, her daughter, will watch Rhea videos every day. That was, like, instead of watching cartoons, she wanted to watch Rhea videos, which is what gave us the idea for the TV show. But she wanted to just watch them, and she loved Rhea so much. So having the conversation and sitting down with her to tell her that Rhea passed away, and she has Rhea's T-shirt on while she's telling her, and we have it videoed, and the girl, she just starts bawling. She's like, I don't understand it. It's like her own pet died because she loved her so much. But people look at, unlike celebrities, again, these animals, people look at them, and it's just unconditional love. Like, you see your own animal in it, or you see an animal that you might want, or you see a different animal that you could never have, or... And they just love them, as opposed to a celebrity that, you know, might have some issues, has love-hate relationship. And when you see the animals, everyone just,
yeah.
for the most part, has a much higher positive level, which is why brands are gearing more towards working with them as opposed to people.
Yeah, it yeah. makes perfect sense
yeah.
because, I mean, they're just happy. A lot of times,
yeah.
like, you see a dog. Like, so any dog that I see, I just think, oh. It immediately makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I'm sure that that's why all these animals have such a big following online in general, because people just think, oh.
mm-hmm. And people recognize them. It's the crazy thing, because you think of an animal, like, it doesn't go to their head. They're not a celebrity. Like, they just, some animals will get overwhelmed if people will crowd them. But when Venus had to fly out here we did a Nissan commercial with her. And she was awesome on the commercial, everyone. She's not abused. I was there. It was
yeah.
amazing. She was really, really good. But when she had to take her out of the carrier to go through security, people, like, will bombard her and be like, she has to be like, nope, it's a cat. Please leave my cattle. But Venus is actually very nice, where you can hold her, and all the people on set were able to hold her and take pictures with her. She's so
yeah.
great. Yeah. But, just be careful when going up to any animal, even if they're famous, because some of them don't want to be bombarded.
Some don't want to take a selfie with you.
Yes.
That's hilarious. Okay, well, this is good. I know that you have a lot to do.
Yeah.
You're just in town from Thailand. So we'll wrap up. Thank you very much for coming in.
Yeah,
this is like kind of blowing my mind. And now I feel as though...
We'll come back anytime.
I already follow, like, all the people we talked about, I follow. And now I'm just going to think about what went into each post. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I go into them too, because I don't control all of their accounts. They go in and they post awesome things. But when it comes to the brand stuff, behind the captions and all that stuff, it's pretty, like, I'm very involved in that with the brands and as the middle person.
Dude.
With, like...
Like, just Nala the cat, all the posts that they've done, I'm like, this owner is so creative to think of a new thing to do.
She's from Thailand too, which is...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, just to think of a new thing to post, a new caption, a new way to pose the cat, a new...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
and it's not just one account. They have so many accounts.
What are they, like, five?
I don't know how they do it. Like, she's a superhero. They both are.
Dude, this is a new skill that is, in 2017, like... You are rocking it. Nala the cat,
yeah.
etc. They're rocking it.
Yeah.
So, anyways. All right.
Thank you.
This is great. Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please rate and review it on iTunes We're also on Google Play and Stitcher. Next up, there have been several stories in the news lately related to kids being bullied at school, and more specifically on social media, which quite frankly is a new type of bullying. We'll hear from two people who have a lot of insight on this, and if you're a parent or really any human interacting with other humans, hopefully you can get something out of it. Once again, I'm Kelly Taylor, and thank you for listening.